But I will tell them they're too late. The people from Cambodia already know these things. All right, so Romans chapter 8. Here's something the Apostle Paul said. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, of course, I am reading from a King James Bible, a very old Bible, 400 years old. Okay? And all over the world, English is changing. If you go to South Africa, they speak it one way. If you go to the Philippines, they speak it the best way. But if you go to England, they speak it another way. If you go to one part of the United States, they will speak it another way. So what the King James Bible does is it becomes the standard. It is a place where all English-speaking people can look at and say, this is the true English. We will all learn this English so that when we come together, we have something we can talk with, we can speak with. So what it is saying here is the Apostle Paul is talking about a law. A law. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And he said, that law made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay? So many times we think, well, I am a Christian. I am not under the law. Well, we are not under Moses' law. But there are many laws, and we'll follow them. You are citizens of the kingdom of Kampuchea. You are citizens here. You are under their laws. And that is a good thing. When you go and you become a pastor, you should be the best citizen that your country has. Loyal to your country. Willing to fight for it. Whatever it would take. You are to be the example of this. Okay? You are not saying, oh, I don't need to obey any laws. No. You are obeying God. And he has put you out there to do these things. The other law he talks about is the law of sin and death. Because that is a very old law. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If a person sins, they die. When a baby is first born, that baby, it does not know the difference between right and wrong. You can give it orders, they don't obey. I can tell you, I've had many babies. I tell them, I don't want you to cry. He cries. You know, he doesn't know any rules. He just does what he wants to do. But when that baby gets old enough, now it is able to think about right and wrong. We don't know what age that is. That is different for every single person. Maybe you were 4 years old, maybe you were 6 years old. It all depends. But when that day comes and you know the difference between right and wrong, you know that. Now God holds you responsible. When you sin, your soul dies inside of you. It is separate from God. Now, the definition of death in your Bible. We think, oh, a man is in an accident, he's on his motorbike, a truck hits him, we go there, he is dead. Okay? This is how we think of death. Okay? But the Bible calls death separation. What do I mean? Well, you have a spirit inside of you that is doing your thinking. When that becomes separate from your body, you are dead. Okay? That part of you will always exist. There will never be a time when you are not thinking. There will never be a time when your memories are all gone. That will exist forever. The question for every person on earth, will it exist in heaven or in hell? That is the question, okay? So when a person physically dies, their spirit leaves their body. And that's what the book of James says. For as the body without the spirit is dead. Okay? But there is another death called spiritual death. For example, Adam and Eve, they were told, in the day that you eat this fruit, you will die. They ate it. And they lived 900 more years. Well, did God lie? No. What happened? They died the worst death. They became separate from God. That is spiritual death. That is the worst death. No one wants to die separate from God. That is the most terrible thing that can happen to any person, to be separate from God. So your job will be to go to Kampuchea, to go to your own people, and to teach them how to have a new birth so that they are in the family of God. Because now they are separate from God. We are born spiritually dead. That is why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must have this new birth, because your first birth only brought you halfway. You don't want to die that way. That is the most terrible thing. The rich man, the poor man, the English man, the man from India, all of them meet in hell. They are all separate from God. So what God has entrusted you with is this gospel of life. How that God came to this earth and was made a man, so that he can reach these people. And when he died for every single person. He took their sins on himself. We will look at that in what Paul said. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Sometimes there are two laws that contradict each other. They are separate from each other. Okay? And so, thank you, sir. Maybe in your house, your father made a rule. And he is your father. You obey him. But then you go into your town, and a policeman tells you to do something. Oh, my father has a rule. That policeman does not care about your father's rule. His law is the strongest law. He said, I will put you in jail and I will put your father in jail. You will obey this law, okay? So we have to ask, there are two laws. One law is the law of sin and death. When a person sins, they die. The other law is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is a stronger law. That is the law that is in charge of the whole world. And we will look at that. If you would, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to look at something. Matthew chapter 8. And we'll go to verse 14. This is the story of Peter's, his mother-in-law, we call it, his wife's mother, and she is very sick. So it says in verse 14, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand. And the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. But now we look at verse 17. It tells you why. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, to bear something, let's say that we say everything in this building must go outside of it. Say, I will carry this, I am bearing this, I am holding this. Okay. Well, it says that he took our sicknesses and he bare them. The past tense, he bore them. He bore our infirmities and our sicknesses. So when he healed Peter's wife, where did the sickness go? He carried it. It's inside of him. When he healed lepers, where does the leprosy go? Inside of him. When he forgives a sinner and says, "You are forgiven," where do the sins go? Inside of him. Okay? Now, I can tell you this. In my life, there is a big burden, and it is the sins that I have committed. It is a terrible thing. I'm ashamed of the sins I've committed. I one day came and brought them to Jesus because they were too great for me. And he took them. He bore them. He made them his own. Okay? And so, one of the things that we see here is he did this 2.5 years before he went to the cross. Okay? He took those sicknesses and those sins on himself. Then why is he not unclean? In the Old Testament, let's say when a woman had her time of blood, if a man touched her, the Bible says, he is unclean. He must go to the temple and he must make sacrifice. Okay? He has touched her. Okay. If a man has leprosy and you touch him, you are unclean. You must go do a sacrifice. Okay. If a man's spit comes upon you, you're unclean. You must go do a sacrifice. Why doesn't Jesus need to do a sacrifice? He has touched a leper. The woman with the issue of blood, she touched him. Okay. And all these sins are upon him. It is because there is a law. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It is the greatest law in the universe. There is no law that is higher than that law. Okay? So as long as he has his own spirit, he cannot be unclean. It is impossible for him to be unclean. He can bear those things in himself and they do not make him unclean. Okay? If you go, and let's say you become a doctor and someone has a very terrible disease and you must touch them, what do? You put a mask over your face, you put gloves on so that you can touch that person and not get those germs. Jesus did not need the gloves, he did not need the mask because he had his own spirit. His spirit has a law that makes whoever has it is free from the law of sin and death. That law cannot get them anymore. Okay? There is a law called diplomatic immunity. Now, what does that mean? What that means is, let's say that Thailand, Vietnam, they want to send men here to talk with the Cambodians and such. So one of the agreements that countries will make, they say, well, you are in our country. We will never arrest you. We will give you what we call immunity. So this man, he is driving down the road. He does not pay attention. He breaks a motorbike with his car. And they say, put him in jail. And we cannot put him in jail. Our king has given him immunity. We cannot touch him, okay? He has this immunity. So a person who has Jesus Christ, who has his spirit, has immunity. They cannot be touched by the law of sin and death. Because there is a greater law. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, we will go back to the book of Exodus. Exodus 28. Exodus 28, and we will go to verse 36. And by the way, I want to say this to you four men. I want to compliment you because I see that you are paying good attention. Your English is good. You have done a good job, okay? And I'm glad of it. I know sometimes I might say something you have to think about a little longer, but you're doing very good, okay? I'm very pleased to see that. All right, so verse 36 says, "And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord." Okay, now I will take a moment to describe that. Because these are words said in an old English, and sometimes even English-speaking people, they're a little confused when they read that, because it is an older, higher English, okay? And by the way, that's one of the reasons that Filipinos now are made such good missionaries, because all the Filipino churches, they teach their people this King James Bible. They teach them that. And they do such a good job with that. But here's what it says. You will take gold, you will make like a plate, like maybe make a sign, okay? Like English All-Stars, you make this sign, okay? And you put the engravings of a signet. What that means is the letters stand out, like these letters stand out, okay? You will make it like that, and those letters say, "Holiness to the Lord." And then the high priest, the man who is the high priest, under Israel's old law, you will tie that to his forehead, okay? And he will wear that. Wherever he goes, this beautiful gold will say, "Holiness to the Lord." Now, why does they do that? We'll look at that. Verse 37, "And thou shalt put on it blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord." So here's what happens. He has this plate that says "Holiness of the Lord," and they take a blue ribbon and they tie it to his head. Why? Because now that priest can bear the iniquity of the holy things. Now we need to explain that a moment. Okay? If I am in a church full of Americans, I need to take time to explain that. They don't get that. That's still very hard for them. What did that say? They're saying, okay? All right? So the thing is this. Israel was told to make very holy things. They made an ark. They made a tabernacle. They made these things, and they were very holy, and they were given exact measurements. Okay, exact. You will make it this size, and you will make it exactly from these materials. But if you think about it, these people are just people, so they make mistakes. Okay? Hold on. There's our signet. It's come down. All right? But the thing is, people make mistakes. And why doesn't God kill them? Because there are times in that Old Testament when men made mistakes, God killed them. Okay? Why doesn't he make the mistake, when they make a little mistake with that tabernacle, why doesn't God kill them? Because there is a priest, and he is wearing this on his forehead. And he is carrying those mistakes. He is bearing that iniquity. Iniquity means lawlessness, against the law, things that were bad, okay? And so a man will be making something for the tabernacle, and it says it is to be this many centimeters big, and he makes it and finds, oh, I'm just this far off, okay? But he is not worried because he has a priest who is wearing this mitre on his forehead. Because the priest is wearing that mitre, the priest is the one who is carrying the badness. He's the one who's carrying the sin, the iniquity for this being done wrong. Now, what we will see, in fact, let's go to Leviticus chapter chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus 10 is a very sad chapter. Give me a little moment here. You're fine. I'm glad you're looking. Yeah, Leviticus 10. And what we will do is we will go to verse 16. 10:16. Now, I'm going to give a little background before I read it. This is a sad chapter because they're supposed to be having a consecration. They're supposed to be ordaining these priests and Aaron and his sons, but they do things wrong. The sons put strange fire on the altar and God kills them. So here is a man, this is such a happy day. It's like his son's graduation day. And yet his son's being killed in front of him. And so everything has gone wrong. There are people crying, they're upset. And so now Moses, he comes back and he is looking for something. And this is what we will look at in verse 16. And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering. Behold, it was burnt. Okay? And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left, saying, wherefore have ye not eaten the sin offering in the holy place, seeing it is most holy, and God hath given it to you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. Now here's what we'll describe this. There was a goat, and that goat was to be a sin offering. Meaning, the priest would take that goat, and he would take that goat, and he would cut its throat. And they would collect the blood.
Yeah.
And then he would carry that blood into the tabernacle to the most holy place. Mm-hmm. Only one time a year was a man allowed to go there. And the thing is, when that blood was taken inside there, the priest had the job. They had to eat the goat sometimes. And Moses said, why? He said, so that you could bear the iniquity. In other words, everyone has confessed their sins and put them on the goat. So where are their sins? They're on the goat. Well, where does it go from there? The priest eats it. And all the sins are in him now, okay? So this is why once a year he must go into the most holy place and carry blood and pour it out for himself now and for all the people because he has been carrying this. Well, why doesn't that kill him to have all these sins? Because he has the mitre on his forehead that says holiness to the Lord, okay? He can wear that. He can carry their sins and he can have them. So Moses is angry because Aaron did it wrong, okay? Now let me explain something else to you. You're very smart. You have learned many things here. One day you will go out into your own towns, your own villages, your own cities, and you will begin to teach people. And in that time, you will make very big mistakes because all men do, okay? And you will cry to God. You will tell him, I have made this terrible mistake. I have done something. I have done it the wrong way. Now my eyes are open, okay? And this will happen. And this is what's happened here. They've made a terrible mistake. They've done it wrong, okay? But God is full of grace. And when a man of God goes to God and tells him, I have done this wrong, then God is very kind to that man, okay? If we hide our sins and we try to pretend we hide them and we try to pretend we don't have these sins, then he's very angry. But if we bring our sins to him and tell him, I am the man of God in this village, and I have said some things with with my mouth that I never should have said, okay? You go to God with that, and that is the relationship you must have with God always. Because there will never come a time in your life, even when you are a very old man, when you are perfect. That will never happen. You will always make mistakes, and you will go to God with those mistakes, okay? Now, we see here that what the priest would do is he would actually eat the goat that had the sins on it, and now the sins are in him, okay? If there is a disease in a town, and the disease is in a chicken, okay? And you eat the chicken, you get the disease, and the people get sick from that. So now the disease to Israel is sin. And the people have taken this goat, and people have laid their hands on it, and they have put their sins on it. It has been sacrificed, and the priest was told, you must eat that. So that when you go into that most holy place, you have everyone's sins on you for the whole year. And this is how God would take care of them. Now, I want us to go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 23. We'll go to verse 39. Now, one of the prophecies about Jesus Christ was this. And before we look at verse 39, we will discuss something first, okay? One of the prophecies about him was that he would bear our sins. He would carry them himself, okay? And that it talked about how when he carried those sins, and we now know that he has been carrying them all his life, everyone that he forgave. A man comes in and says, forgive me. He takes it to himself. Okay? He heals a man with blindness. The blindness goes inside of him. He heals a man with leprosy. The leprosy goes inside of him. Okay? One of the things it says in the book of 1 Timothy, is it says he was justified in the Spirit. Okay? What does that mean? It means as long as he has his Spirit, those sins cannot make him evil. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So they have nailed him to a cross. They have nailed his feet. They have nailed his hands. If you remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, God took thorns and made them grow from the ground. And he said, this is the curse on the whole earth. So what did the Romans do? They made a crown. They took those thorns and made a crown and put it on his head. Why? Because he is taking the curse of the whole earth upon himself. Okay? He is the creator of this earth, and he is taking this curse upon himself. And now he has all the leprosy. He has all the sins that he has forgiven. And they are all on him, but they cannot hurt him because of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. As long as he has that Spirit, nothing can hurt him. Okay? So, we'll now go and look at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. So he's yelling at them. They're not hanging. If you are really the Christ, come save yourself and save us. Okay? Now, that is an impossible thing. Because if he saves himself, he cannot save them. The only way to save them is for him to die. Okay? So the man is asking a foolish question. Okay? But if you think about it, he asked to be saved. But he did not ask right. That is not a prayer of faith. Okay? That is the type of prayer that sometimes people will do in your church, but you will watch their life and see that life did not change. Okay? When a true prayer of faith happens, the person will change. They will really become a different person. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. So this man has asked Jesus to save him, but he did not ask right. Okay? Then the other thief, and we will look at this, okay? Verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Now, we will think about what it said. He is hanging on this cross, and he tells the other thief, shut your mouth. Be quiet, okay? We deserve this, okay? I've been a thief all my life. I deserve this, okay? Now, that is a very surprising thing. Because when bad people are caught, they always lie. Oh, I did not do this thing. You have a picture of them doing the thing. Oh, that is not me, they'll say. That is just human nature, okay? They'll always say, I never did this. But repentance is when you do admit it. You see, yes, that is me. I am the person. I am very guilty. That is what God is looking for, is repentance, okay? This thief is repenting. He is saying, we deserve to be here. This is a terrible death, an awful death, but my whole life deserves this death, okay? I have judged my life, and I have said it is right. And then he turns to Jesus and said, Lord, we'll look at that, okay? It says this, verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Okay? So the thing is, here is Jesus on the cross, and he hears this man with true repentance. Okay? The man says, I am guilty and I deserve this terrible death. And he does not even ask Jesus for a big thing. All he says is, remember me. Okay? But Jesus does more than remember him. He says, today, when I go to my Father, when I go into heaven and all the angels are so happy, amen, you will be with me. Okay? Why? Because he is a sinner who has repented. He has seen what he has done wrong. This will be your job. Go out among people. They will not be happy when you preach Jesus. They will not be happy when you tell them that the Buddha cannot help them. They won't be happy about that. Okay? And you have to be wise. You don't want to insult them on purpose. Okay? But at the same time, the Buddha cannot help them. Okay? So you must go out there and teach them how they can be in heaven with the Father. They will not be reincarnated, born many times. They're going to die one time, and after this, the judgment. And you are going to teach them how they can be with the Creator forever, with all their sins forgiven. And this is what you are being taught to do. Okay? And you are going to teach them how to live on this earth as different people. People who know the true God, that know the God of Israel, and you're going to teach them to do this, okay? Now, here is what I want to look at. The Bible says, he that hangeth upon a tree is cursed, okay? There's a way to curse a man. We are so angry, we are going to kill you, but we are going to hang you on a tree to show everyone that you are a cursed man. So when Jesus is nailed to a cross, and the very law says, he is a cursed man. He has touched lepers. He is unclean. A woman with an issue of blood touches. The Romans have spit on his face, and their spit is running down his face. Okay? All these people, he has forgiven them. And yet, he is still able to forgive people. The thing is, he still has his spirit. And as long as he has his spirit, nothing can touch him. He feels the pain. But the law of sin and death cannot touch him.
Amen.
Okay? But let us read. Verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now, I want to stop a moment and teach you a little something. Sometimes when you're reading Luke, and then you read John, and then you read Matthew, the times are changed. It says he went into Pilate's hall on the third hour. Then you read in Luke, it says it's the sixth hour. Say, oh, there's a mistake here. No. When they are in Pilate's judgment hall, they are using Gentile measurement of time. Okay? Gentiles start the day at 12 midnight. The 12th hour is noon. But Jews start their day at 6 in the evening. Okay? And then it goes, and then the rest of the day starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. So when it says, and they are in a Jewish place, and it says the third hour, it means 9 o'clock in the morning. But if they are in a Gentile place and it says the third hour, then you're talking about 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay? So you always must look, where are they? Okay? For example, where I live in New York, where's the clock? Oh, don't worry. All right. But where I live in New York, it is exactly 12 hours behind us. Okay? There we go. He has shown me. So in New York, it is 2:55, but in the morning. Okay? So I might tell you, oh, I have talked to my son in his morning. He said, what? It is not morning. Yes, but I'm thinking about this. So when you're reading your Bible and it talks about what time it is, always ask yourself, where are they when it talks to time? Okay? Or else very bad people will come to you and tell you that your Bible contradicts and makes mistakes. Okay? So, we'll read a little bit more here. And it said this. Verse 45, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst, meaning it was torn. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So, when he gave his spirit to the Father, is there anything protecting him anymore? No. All the leprosy, all the sins, all the uncleanness is now on him. Because he does not have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus anymore. He has given it back to the Father. This is why he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because now he is a worm. No man. He has become sin for us that knew no sin. He has now been changed from the glorious God into the most horrible sinner that ever lived. He is bearing the sins of every believer who will ever come to him. He has the sin, and they are his now. There is a song that says, he took my sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own. Okay? Okay? It says that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. Now, what does that mean? Well, imagine that I wanted to buy some rice at the market. And you four men say, oh, we will help you, preacher. We speak the language. We will help you. And so they measure out to me a kilo of rice. And I bring out 1,000 American dollars. Say, I will give them this. You say, no, preacher, this is too much. All right. Oh, the person with the rice, he's very happy. He thinks this is a good thing, all right? But you say, this is too much, okay? That is not the fair price. So when Jesus gave himself for our sins, he bought those sins, okay? Now, can you imagine if you had been... You have three chickens, and you have been raising them and feeding them, and now you want to sell them, but in the morning, one of them is dead. And it's very sad, and the worms are climbing in and out of it, and it looks terrible, and flies are on its eyes and such. And a man comes and said, this is the one that I will buy. He's a very crazy man. All right? This is the wrong one to buy. Okay? okay? Jesus took the most precious thing in the whole universe, himself, and made that the price. What did he buy? Our sins.
Yes.
That is the most terrible thing that has ever been purchased. It is the most uneven trade that was ever made, the most terrible that ever could have been done, okay? Where he took his own self and said, I will buy your sins, and here's the price I will pay. I will pay myself, okay? And he gave up his spirit, and now he hangs on his cross, and he is guilty of every sin you have done. He is guilty of every sin that I have. He's purchased them. They are his. He made them his, okay? All the diseases are upon him, the leprosy, the woman's blood, the blindness, it is all upon him. It is terrible. So in the Psalms, it says, I am a worm and no man. Okay? That's why the Psalms say that. I am a worm and no man. He has been made sin, and he died. And he went into the lower parts of the earth. He went into both parts. He went into hell for less than a couple hours and burnt off all those sins. He is the burnt offering. And then he crossed from hell over to paradise. There he meets the thief and said, I told you today you will be with me in paradise. Okay? How could he go from hell over to paradise? Because the Father gave him back his spirit. He brought it back to him. And that is another preaching thing. Okay? How he brought his spirit back to him. Because there were two resurrections. Adam was told, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But he died spiritually that day. But he did not physically die for 900 more years. So there are two deaths. Jesus had to die both deaths. He had to die the death of being separate from the Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is the most terrible death. Okay? Do not let your family die that death. Do not let the people in the villages or the cities that you go to, don't let them die that death. Okay? Tell them about this man who has purchased their sins. He took them and made them his own. Tell them about this, okay? And then there is the death where you give up your spirit and you are separate from your body. That death has no power over you. Okay? Because one day God will give you your body back. And he will make it better. And he will clothe it with a body from heaven. And that is a sure promise. Okay? So for Jesus, he had to die both deaths. One, to be separate from the Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He is separate. That is spiritual death. Then he died physically. Okay? So there had to be two resurrections. The Father had to bring his spirit to him in hell. Then he crossed over to paradise, and he is with that thief in paradise, who is not a thief anymore. He has been changed. He is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Okay? He's been made new. And on the third day, he came and he took back his body, and he is alive forevermore. Forever. And this is your job to tell the world.
Okay? Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor John.
Yes, sir.